The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Explicit content may be heard throughout this podcast. Listening discretion is advised.
And you wonder about the nature of human beings anymore. Crime seems like second nature, where people pray every day for them or a loved one to make it home. Never do they want that call. These are stories of past or current situations where crimes go punished.
Freeze! Down to the ground!
Or grow cold. You're listening to Exploring the Paranormal Perspectives True Crime segment. Hello, Parakeeksters. It's Wednesday, February 9th. 2022. Tonight I give you a true crime. A stabby stabby, if you will. That's for you, Moviekins. I look back at my youth, and I wonder how I am still alive today. I don't know about y'all, but when I was young, I was just thinking about what fun things I could do next. Especially when I was younger than 10. Would it be baseball at the guy down the street's house? Or maybe climbing the tree at the house that seemed always empty? Maybe it was heading down to the dead end in the neighborhood to the lone plum tree and sit against the bark as I looked up to the sky and chomped down on the delicious sweetness of the fruits it gave. There were times a bunch of us kids in the neighborhood would go out to the field that was behind the houses, and we'd jump up on the hay bales that farmers had made after harvesting the peanuts that season. There was always laughter, sometimes bullying, depending on the boy of the group and what they wanted to pick on me about next. Getting picked on is never fun, especially with nicknames such as Shotgun Shauna. Pitching wasn't fun during those baseball games either, because it was always seen those boys found it funny to hit me with the baseball. Come to think of it, football wasn't always that great either, but it made me tougher, and I could take a hit. Yeah, it was supposed to be touch football, but I always ended up getting tackled. However, When the sun started setting and the lights came on, it was time to head home and eat supper, watch the news, and then settle down with my parents to watch some Wheel of Fortune or go play in my room. When I met potential friends, it never crossed my mind that they could possibly try to hurt me, let alone kill me. When it came to family, my cousins were like my siblings. I always felt safe with my family. Never scared. It seems every year, the kids get scarier and scarier. And now that I'm a mama myself, the urge to put a shield around your children is strong. You feel safe knowing that they love being at home and playing a video game or watching television. Then possibly at a kid's house playing a game or playing with dolls. You know, the stuff we used to do when we were kids. The guilt, though, that I have, knowing that I had the fun that I did when I was little, and the bubble I put around my children. Isn't always the best thing either. I'm always telling my kids to make sure they pay attention to their surroundings. Always. Make sure that one friend is right in the head. Make sure they're right in the head. With the fear that you find at the touch of your fingertips when researching things starts to creep in, kind of take over your mind. You have to take a step back and realize that not all people and kids are bad. Sometimes that darkness creeps into a kid. And that's when you gotta say, you know, back ye demon child, because you never know what they're gonna do. They just have that certain look on their face or that certain look in their eye, and you're just like, what? In all seriousness, though, there are some scary chitlins. And tonight, I'm going to let you in on some of the scariest things no adult wants to have to face when it comes to a child. Especially not their own child. Tonight, I'm going to speak to you about Christian Romeros. See, this is something that happened pretty recently. When I say recent, I mean like early 2000s, 2000 teenies. As a parent, I never come home and think that I'm going to walk into my house and my child is going to have a knife or a gun pointed at me. Hell, I don't even think about leaving my youngest at home alone. Though, Vincent Romero and his roommate, Timothy Romans, did leave Vincent's 8-year-old son at home alone. Or rather, he came home from school. And he was alone. On that fateful evening in November of 2008, a detective and a sergeant were called to a situation where a body was laying on the front porch of a blue 2-story home in the small town of St. John's, Arizona. The detective had recalled seeing the boy outside. Kind of stretching his arms out and speaking to her as she walked up to him, saying that he thinks his daddy is dead. Vincent, 29, was found on the stairs face down. However, one of our research that other articles stated he was in an upstairs bedroom. While his roommate, Timothy, 39, never even made it through the front door. Christian eight-year-old Christian told the detective that he saw Romans on the porch and his dad inside when he had gotten home from school. You know, when you come to a situation like that and you see the kind of chaos that's happening, all you think about is protecting the kids. Protect the kids, protect the kids, protect the kids. You never think that the kid is the killer, ever. When I was in the military, my first thought when we were told we were going overseas was, oh my God, what if I have to kill a kid? I'm not going to be able to do it. I won't ever be able to do it. I think that's the thing that scared me the most about going over there. But being a cop, being a detective, and coming across a homicide scene like this and seeing a kid out there, I can only imagine her first thought was, oh my God, I gotta protect this kid. We gotta find who killed these two men and protect this kid. So they never even considered Christian being the one who did it, who dealt the deed, who picked up the rifle and went, bam, blam. I mean, even with urgings from Roman's wife, Tanya, who insisted that the authorities speak with the kid.
Exploring the paranormal perspective, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Johnny Hauser here. I'm in the attic of the Velisca Axe murder house. Stuff's getting weird. This doll's creeping me out. I just wanted to take a second to tell you my buddy, my BFF, my bestie, Shauna's got a new podcast out. It's called Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. She's going to be talking about monsters, mysteries, aliens, ghosts, true crime, paranormal, everything that's interesting. You know, you need to listen to it. Para X Radio Network, 8 p.m. Central Time, Wednesdays. Tune in.
Welcome back to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
Tanya, who insisted that the authorities speak with the kid. They never even thought to. And the reason she was urging the authorities was because she was on the phone with her husband when they got to the house. They had gotten to the house because Vincent, Christian's dad, needed to get a part. And Roman was standing outside when he heard something. Finally, the detectives sat down with Christian, asked him a bunch of questions. asked him a bunch of questions, and he replied with a bunch of lies. He said first that he thinks it might be one of the neighbors down the street. Saw him smoking a lot and speeding up and down the road. Finally, after a little while, the detectives kept asking all these quizzical questions, and Christian finally confessed, stating that his dad had come home and seen Christian with the .22 caliber rifle. The same rifle that Vincent was kind of nervous about getting him, but got it for him anyway and taught him how to shoot it. It was relayed in one of the news articles that Vincent had even gone to his priest to ask him, you know, advice. Now, Christian's mama wanted just to get him a BB gun to start off with, which for an 8-year-old kid would probably be the better choice. But Vincent wanted the boy to know how to shoot a gun because he had come from a family of hunters. And he wanted Christian to know how to handle them. Vincent came home, saw him with a gun, and proceeded to scold him for getting the gun out in the first place. As Christian ran up the stairs, Vincent ran up the stairs after him, following him. What Vincent didn't expect was his boy turning around with a rifle and shooting him. Christian had then called for Timothy, telling him there was something wrong with his daddy. Timothy, who was on the phone with his wife, told her he had to go. Then didn't even make it to the front door. The boy shot and killed him too. Now, the boy's confession was even put on the news, with the detective hearing all the conflicting stories coming from his mouth. They kind of thought maybe he was taking up for someone at first. Maybe the neighbor, somebody else he knew. But during the confession, they found that it wasn't long before they found a little glitch in his story. 6 in that big old chair with his little feet dangling. The detective realized that Christian had stated something that he saw that kind of concerned her, that led to her believing that he was the killer. He said that he saw the body twitching and shake, so he kicked it with his foot. Why did Christian kill his daddy in Romans? Why? Was he being abused? Did something just snap and he just like, blah, 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 blam? Or, I mean, what was the motive? According to authorities, there really wasn't a motive. The only thing that was relayed was a spanking he had received because he didn't bring his daddy his papers like he was supposed to. See, the teacher had made a behavior report that Christian was supposed to remember to bring home, or there would be consequences for each of the days he forgot them. Spankings was one of them. He got a spanking for each day he missed. First day was one spanking. Second day was two. Third, three. And this day, Daddy shot his daddy. He was going to receive four. Because once again, he had forgotten his papers. His mama Tiffany told the cops that they had the wrong number when they called her. And her daddy, well, he wasn't good for nothing either because he hung up on him. Roman's wife, Tanya, she believes that the system just totally forgot about her husband. On December 29th, 2015, Christian turned 15. In 2018, he'll turn 18. When he turned 18, he signed paperwork that released him from his psychological evaluations, restrictions, being watched, not being able to travel. He gets all that back. He gets his life back. He doesn't have to do those anymore. See, his birthday, and the day he signs those papers, is Tanya's birthday too. Still, after 7 years, when he turned 15, there was no signs of abuse that were found, even though there had been calls of violence made to the police in the past. They just had to go back and look it up, see where they were. Though, when I was researching, there were some sites that I couldn't really get to because I had to either pay for it or they were no longer available. But it led to believe, it leads you to believe that there were domestic violence calls made to the authorities over the years. Now, the police were pushing to have this 8-year-old, this little boy, Christian Romero, tried as an adult, as there is no way that a kid just suddenly picks up a gun and starts shooting for no reason, which means it was premeditated. But you know what? I knew a lady that told her husband if he didn't shut up, that she was going to go back inside, get a knife, and come out and kill him. He didn't shut up. So she did. And she only got 4 years. She stated it was self-defense. And according to some of the people that were there, they stated that he said, "It's not her fault. I provoked it." Right before he died. That right there, to me, is premeditated. And if you knew their history, you'd understand. So what the fucking hell? How did she get 4 years? Knowing damn well what she was doing. And this little boy has to spend all this time doing psychological evaluations, treatments, all kinds of stuff, probation. You know, after all the years my dad was in, my dad was a cop. The system is so different anymore. Back to Christian, though. Can you imagine seeing this small baby in a court, in a courtroom, being sentenced to life in prison? Life. This tiny little human being. A year later, which would make him 9 years old. I'm sorry, I keep going back and forth. I know I'm sorry. But a year later, it would make Christian 9 years old. The judge was actually going to reject a plea agreement that called for probation and sentenced Christian to the state's juvenile corrections. Now, Christian's defense attorney had another card up his sleeve stating that Judge Michael Rocha was being influenced by local politics. You know what? If only that call would be used on the many things today. We'd probably be a lot happier. But, all things aside, due to the politics, Christian's defense attorney believed that Judge Rocha was biased to the case and wanted him removed. I mean, even the prosecutor said the judge was bad and gay. Prosecutor Michael Whiting claimed that Judge Rocha just wanted to put the kid in juvie for money instead of for justice. Which, it was bye-bye, Judge Rocha. Christian pleaded guilty, and they sentenced him for negligent homicide for the shooting of Tim Romans. Why just Tim, you ask? And if you didn't, you should. Because that's the only conviction he got. It was part of the bargain made for him pleading guilty was that his daddy's death was never going to be on his record. Now that's kind of creepy. Like you walk into the adoption agency and foster systems like, "Yes, Mr. and Mrs. What's-Your-Faces, this is Christian. He's had some difficulties in his life, but I'm sure he's a great fit for y'all." "Oh, well, we heard that he shot someone when he was 8 years old. We can overlook that since it was in self-defense." "What? Who said it was self-defense?" "Oh, well, we just assumed since it was an adult." "Oh, no, no, no. It was the roommate and his dad. I mean, the roommate." "Wait, what? Come on, y'all get the gist of it." Could you imagine being the foster parent to a child that you know? To a child that you know shot and killed his daddy and his daddy's roommate for apparently nothing.
Exploring the Paranormal Perspective will be right back after this commercial break.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
This is New Aeon Now, news and discussion of the metaphysical, the occult, the paranormal, and much, much more. With your hosts, New Aeon High Priestess Reverend Lily Alley, artist, occultist, and paranormal team leader Tamara Ortiz, and head of the Draken chapter of the Order of Paranormal Exploration, Christine Matza. The New Aeon is now. Join us every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for New Aeon Now.
Welcome back to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been fostered, and I'm not saying that he's this evil creature. But have you guys ever seen The Omen? The Good Son? Pet Cemetery? I mean, come on now. Some of these movies are a little bit, on the little crazy side. But, all joking aside, I mean, when he turned 15, the judge deemed him well enough to even go to high school and to be part of the foster system and have a family after his second evaluation. So, he got to go to school, be around other kids, be normal. However, before he went off to this foster family and the school, the prosecutor and Roman's wife, Tanya, was against him being able to do that. She is quoted to say that they didn't know what Christian was actually capable of, so it wouldn't be safe. Other articles that I researched stated the prosecutor, Mr. Whiting, didn't think that the boy should go and that any progress Christian has made is questionable. Based on what he read on the reports and what's gone on since he killed two men. See, in 2012, he had moved into a home in Phoenix. But that quickly went awry when he violated his probation. Not once, not twice, but 25 times. Now, it was said that he was making handgun gestures to one of the staff, threatening to kill the roommates. He had thrown one of the staff members against the wall. 12 years old, I mean, how big was he? I know when my kids were 12, they weren't but like 5'3", 5'4". Of course, I guess it all depends on the staff. I am kind of tall, 5'10". But 25 allegations towards him. Only 3 ended up being proven. You'd think nowadays with all the cameras and all that, you know they got in those homes. If there were 25 actual allegations that were honest, 25 allegations is what he would have got. So why would anyone lie about that stuff when it comes to a kid? Fear? Fear being embedded in them because of what happened and what he did. I just can't understand why anybody would lie. And you know what's bad is that some people lie so much they can't even keep their lies straight. I had a cousin that was like that. Had a couple friends, too. Now, Christian's family did go and see him from time to time. His mama was also supposed to pay the home with Social Security checks, kind of keep his care going. She ended up stop paying it. Surprise, surprise. When you find out how much it cost a month, I probably would have stopped paying it too, because I couldn't afford it. She ended up being chased by authorities. See, his care was costing $4,000 a month. They wanted her to be rich and making some money, because I don't know any disability. Now, if you are on disability and you're making $4,000 a month, you are making bank, let me tell you. Because, oh my God, what the bejeebus crispy are they thinking, charging this woman $4,000 a month? I don't even know of anybody paying child support of $4,000 a month unless they're rich. But I don't know anybody personally. Do you? And yes, Allison, sorry. I had to use the crispy. It's just too funny. Forgive me, please. On December 29th, 2017, Christian became a free man. He remained with his foster parents. He no longer has to do all that stuff that he did in the past. When looking at cases such as this where it involves children, especially children below their teenage years, still developing into who they are, can you really believe that these children are so evil that they can never, ever be an asset to society? I sit there and I think about situations like this, and I'm just wondering, what the heck happened to these kids? What causes them to just snap? To lose it? I mean, you have some kids that write in their diaries, oh, I killed someone today and it felt amazing. Such an adrenaline rush. Oh, I'll have to talk about it later. I gotta go to church. And then you got others that are like, I've never felt this euphoric feeling before. Children, these are children writing in diaries, not adults. And then you have the adults that do write stuff like that in their diaries. But speaking of children, you look around and you can't tell from one to the next an adult of who could be a bad person, who's acting, who's the trust system is not what it used to be. When you had small villages and you knew everybody, it was easy to trust people and it was easy to not trust people because you knew them. You knew how they were. You knew what they were doing. But when it comes to kids, especially kids below a certain age, there are some kids that are really, really bad liars. You can tell what's going on with them just by the way they shift or the way they move. So you gotta think, if you see a kid, especially a small one around 7 or 8 years old, walking around, if they're happy-go-lucky and fun-loving and seems to enjoy life and then suddenly snaps and shoots their parent? Is it because of what society's teaching them? Such as... you're entitled to this. Your certain race or your certain gender or your certain whatever. But you're entitled to this because this and this and this. Or is it maybe... like the little girl that put bleach in her mom's drink and food and was slowly killing her mama because her mama had took her phone away. I mean, what is really going on with our kids nowadays? What was going on in society where they think they're entitled to their phones or their TVs or whatever they got from family members? Instead of being grateful for what they have. Not everybody can have the things that a lot of people have. And it's really sad. It is. But those people that aren't working hard to earn the things that they need or want don't deserve to take it from me. Or for anybody else that has worked hard. Getting off topic, though. Going back to the kids. At 8 years old, do you think that they maybe feel entitled enough that they don't deserve things, so they get angry? What causes a kid to get so angry that they want to kill their parents? I've been angry at my parents many, many times over my life. But not once did I ever even dream or think of hurting them. Not once. So, what goes on in these kids' heads for them to come up with the conclusion that killing their parents is going to be the best choice? Now, if abuse is involved, I can understand the kids, and I can understand how they may think there's no way out of it, no way past it, because it's always going to come back to, oh, they're a kid, they may be lying, or they're a kid. Kids have lied. Kids have lied and told other people that their parents were beating them, and those other people killed their parents. So it is hard to believe. It's why you research, you dig, you get evidence. These detectives nowadays, some of them, not all of them, just like police officers, they're too lazy. They don't do research. You have investigative journalists that does better research and finds more things than a lot of detectives. But this kid, Christian Ramirez, who is not no longer a kid, he's a 24-year-old man now, and he's out in the world, he's free, don't know where, I'm pretty sure they have him under some different name, probably under some witness protection kind of thing, but do you think that someone such as Christian, who did this at such a young age, could turn his life around and realize that he did wrong. That what he did was horrible. I looked up a couple of websites, trying to find an answer of what really causes children to kill. And some of them kill so violently and such. It's, oh my God. Especially to little babies that are so weaker than they are. Just don't understand. You know, this has been so hard. This one was not hard, but there are other true crimes coming out for you guys that I've got lined up that were really hard to read without bawling. And I'd like to say that I'm tough around the edges, but I'll admit that when it comes to children and children in pain and children getting hurt, especially by people that just don't care, just, oh my God, it breaks my heart so much. But when I researched to find out what causes these kids to do these things, why they do it in the first place, I mean, some are in a violent situation. They see violence. They do violence. One website says children kill due to a combination of nature and nurture. Their home life, what's happening in the home, their surroundings. I mean, sometimes when kids do it, whenever I was researching, a lot of kids only killed once. But there were other kids. I mean, crazy. They killed 5, 6, 8 people. And it's like, what is going on? What happened to them? It states a lot of times that on the research that I found that there's a lot of kids that can show violent behavior. As early as pre-K, they can show violent behavior. Not a lot of times people are like, oh, they'll grow out of it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. My children, my two boys, have always had anger issues. My oldest boy, I got him to screaming into pillows and hitting pillows whenever he felt really, really angry. And it worked over time. He would scream out his frustration. He would punch the pillow when he wanted to punch something or someone. It worked. I mean, there were times that he got into a few fights, but the fights that he got into, it was in self-defense. My middle boy was always getting picked on and in trouble in school, and a lot of it was his fault, but a lot of it was the principal at the time's fault too, and it didn't work out for him. He got into a lot of trouble, was suspended a lot. I had to go through a lot with him, but he was never violent. I always worried about his mental state, his self-preservation, I guess you could say. I worried about how he felt about himself and if he ever felt like he didn't want to be in this world anymore or anything. And he assures me to this day, no, Mom, not that stupid. That's his words. Not saying that anybody that has those thoughts are stupid. Just, that's his words. Aggressiveness or violent behavior, being the victim of physical abuse or sexual abuse, the kids. These are factors which could increase their behavior to do something so evil. Exposure to violence in the home and our community, being the victim of bullying, genetic family hereditary factors, exposure to violence in media, TV, movies, etc. You know, I'm sorry. I don't know if I really agree with that because I grew up watching horror movies and gruesome movies, and I cry when I step on an ant or smush an ant or kill an ant. I cry every time I see a child hurting or an adult hurting. I mean, I don't believe that violence in the media or TVs or songs or, I mean, that's hogwash. Use of drugs and/or alcohol, yes. Presence of firearms in the home. Again, I'm going to have to disagree. As long as the adults take care of the firearms like they're supposed to, and they teach the children at a young age what they're supposed to do. My kids go to their grandparents, and their grandparents have guns everywhere. My dad's an ex-cop. As long as you teach them right and teach them that it's not the no-no, it's you don't touch it, they'll know not to touch it and keep them locked away and hidden. Combination of stressful families, socioeconomic factors, poverty, severe deprivation, marital breakup, single parenting, unemployment, loss of support from extended family. Yes, that can be a big factor in it. Brain damage. They say brain damage to the frontal lobe can cause the snap and the craziness. What are your thoughts? What do you think? What do you think causes these children to become who they are? I mean, look at this example of Christian Romero's. According to authorities, there was no history of abuse. There had been history of calls for domestic violence, but was that to the kid or was that to the mom? And did the kid witness it? And if he did, then yeah, that's a situation that could be potentially something that may have led him to where he is. But if not, and he had a good life, just like a few serial killers that are known in the past to have had great lives and grow up killing many, many, many people. Is it genetic? That's one of the things. I mean, is this kind of behavior something that's genetic? I have to say that it's a possibility. My oldest son, for him not hardly ever being around his biological father, acts so much like him. So much like him, it's not even funny. So it's kind of crazy to see those characteristics in him, even though I bet you he's probably spent, oh gosh, maybe 8 months out of his whole life with his biological father, like in person. So I have to say it's a little crazy that he acts as much as he does like him. So yeah, I can see the generic being, I mean, if your parent had a mental disorder, it's likely you could have the mental disorder yourself. If a parent had cancer, it's likely you could get the same cancer. So, I mean, yeah, I can see that being something that's, these are stuff that's, this is from 2015. These are stuff from doctors and people that have collabed together to come up with an idea of what could be causing these issues in children. There's one that, the personality pattern, that's something that you might want to look up because it's pretty interesting. I'm going to have the link all the links to all the websites, the sources that I got all this stuff from in my blog on the website at www.exploringtheparanormalwithgeeksparanormal.com. You can go there, look at the blog. The one good thing about doing the true crimes is that I write it all out before I get on here and talk to you guys about it. So it's just an easy to pop up there and get it up there for you guys. There's a thing I'm going to quote from the website. With stunning frequency, news stories appear about one of the most perplexing of all crimes, homicide committed by children. Here's a few examples. A 7-year-old Queens boy was charged with killing a 2-year-old by throwing him off the roof. So to shed light on children who murder, experts have become troubled about an apparent intensification of youthful homicidal behavior. This is quoting from the New York Times. This is quoting. For instance, Dr. Alyssa P. Benedek, Director of Research and Training at the Center for Forensic Psychiatry in Ann Arbor, Michigan, said she had seen many more youths engaged in mass murder, the killing of more than one person in the last few months than in all her previous experience. Now, let me tell you what year this was out. This came out. October 11th, 1983. What is going on with our society, nature versus nurture, that is causing our children to become like this, to get like this? There's a pattern. There's always a pattern. So think about it. Hit me up over at Shaw Wooten on Facebook, or Exploring the Paranormal Perspective on Facebook, or you can leave a voicemail at anchor.fm/geeks-paranormal, or you can go to the blog and leave a message there. Let me know what you think is going on with the children nowadays. What kind of pattern is coming up to cause these children at such a young age to commit these horrible crimes? You can also go to my YouTube channel, our YouTube channel, because it's just not mine. It's Geeks Paranormal as well, at Geeks Paranormal. Patreon is going to have its first video up here soon, within the week, I'm hoping. Next week, I have Gavin and Paula Kelly on in their 2-part series. I'll be on next week and the week after. That's the 16th and the 23rd. And then after that, I have another true crime story coming your way. And then I have Allison Church, Patty Negri, and David Pierce Rodriguez. If you have any questions for any of my previous past guests or my upcoming guests, please feel free to leave me a message at any of the places on social media that you know where I'm at, and I'll be happy to air it and let them know who it is from. And even if you have a voicemail, I'd be happy to air that too and let them answer your questions, or I will get the answer for you, or however you want to do it. Thank you guys so much for listening to me tonight. So again, thank you guys for listening, and you guys have a wonderful rest of the week and a wonderful weekend. Bye.